Isn't it awesome just to worship the Lord? Amen, yeah. Maybe we could do that all morning sometimes, I think, yeah. You know, someday, when we're in heaven, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So I have a little bit to learn yet about worshiping the Lord, I can tell you that. But it'll be an awesome time on it. This morning, we have Nyla Martin with us from Align Life Ministries. I didn't say Susquehanna Valley Pregnancy Services. Align Life Ministries. And I'm going to let her introduce herself, but I can tell you, just observing her this morning, I can tell you that she loves the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
And she says she's been at Columbia for 18 years. So I'm just going to hand the mic over to you, and we're happy to have you here, and we're glad that the Lord allowed you to come this morning.
Thank you. Thank you, Scott. I've got my mic. And thank you so much for having me. I feel very, very honored to be here this morning. It's always a privilege to be with the body of Christ wherever you are and wherever you worship. And I get the privilege of seeing many different churches, many different believers all around Lebanon and Lancaster counties. And it never ceases to amaze me at the bond that you have with God's people. You may not even know them, but you just feel bonded to them. And I really feel that this morning, and I just could have kept worshiping. But there was one thing that struck me, and then I'll go on to tell you a little bit about who I am after this. But if you wouldn't mind, I just really had that impression when we were back there, we were singing about the power of God, how great he is. He's stronger. He's more powerful than what? He's more powerful than the enemy. And any of the thoughts, the imaginations, the strongholds that the enemy sets up, whether it's in our minds, whether it's in the world, the powers that he is controlling, he is stronger. God is stronger. And if you wouldn't mind, if you would join me for one specific person today, I would just, I don't know, I just had that sense. If this church prays with me, I just really believe we're going to see God move. And I'll tell you this story about, and sorry for my tears, but I feel very passionate and very burdened for this young girl. She's a high school senior. She goes to Columbia High, and she, where we get various of our clients from. And she came to see us about 2 weeks ago, and she hadn't paid attention to the fact that she was pregnant, and she was at that point 16 weeks pregnant. And we talked to her, I talked to her and her boyfriend, discussed things, and they weren't sure what they wanted to do with the pregnancy, that kind of thing. Well, unfortunately, 16 weeks is too far along for us to be able to do an ultrasound. We do an ultrasound for the first trimester. And how far is the first trimester? Anybody know? I know you do. First 12 weeks. And so she was beyond what we were able to do, and it's very disappointing when those things happen because you're like, if they could just see how big this baby is. Well, we showed her one of the models, like you said, back there. I don't know if somebody can go back there and get the closest thing to the 16-week-old. Well, actually, now she's about 18 weeks. Get the 20. Yeah. Show me that. Thank you. So here's the 20-week-old. Imagine. Baby is that, almost that big. And she, so they left undecided, of course, and we kept in contact. And one morning I was laying in bed before I got out, and God just really brought her to my heart again and said, pray for her. And I had that sense that she was starting to choose abortion. And so I really prayed for her. And guess what the Lord did? I prayed for another opportunity to be able to talk to her. Well, she brought her sister in that afternoon. Her sister wanted a pregnancy test. So here she comes, appearing in our waiting room. And we're all like, yes, she's back. Because a lot of times you don't see them again. She came back, and I had opportunity to talk to her a second time. And we talked again, and she said, yeah. She said, I have an appointment set up for the 15th and the 16th of this month, and I'm going to go get an abortion. So we talked a little more, and I said to her, I said, listen, even if you're on that table of that abortion clinic, and you think to yourself, I don't want to be doing this. You can get off and go. You can leave. You don't have to. Even if you get started, you can quit anytime you want to. And I want you to know that. She nodded her head yes. And so we had that opportunity to pray for her. But it takes 2 days to do that. The first time, and I hope I'm not being too graphic, but I think it's important. The first day, she's 18 weeks. at this point. So if they, the first day they open her cervix with laminaria, make it wide enough and let that work. They put it in there, let it work overnight. They bring her back the next day, and then they pull this baby out piece by piece, suction this baby out of here. And they, you know, it's actually, its backbone is at that point developing very, very much. By 12 weeks, you can start seeing that backbone. And this, and so to get that baby out is going to be very, very hard, very traumatic for her. And of course, ends the baby's life, but I'm concerned about her, of course, a high school senior. So if you would just pray with me, is there somebody here that feels led to just pray for her? That is like, is that Wednesday and Thursday? Or is that Tuesday and Wednesday, the 15th? This is the 13th. So that's Tuesday and Wednesday. Yeah. Does somebody have that sense that you'd like to pray for her? How about a go ahead.
Let's leave it open because this is an important thing. I think God's moving in your hearts has not shared that. So let's leave it open and I can close.
Okay.
But let's just
pray. I thank you. I just really felt that if this congregation prays with me, that it'll add all the more power to what God wants to do, removing those strongholds that are in her mind and in her heart, thinking that this is the only direction she has to go. Thank you.
Lord, there are two lives here. Mm-hmm. Lord, one who does not have any choice in this, one who is vulnerable and dependent on the mother's choice, Lord. And then there is a choice made of influence by outside forces, by boyfriends, by family.
Lord, I also pray that this gal in the situation she's in, that she may meet up with somebody that you have preordained for her to speak into her life again before Tuesday, Wednesday. Be near her. And I just pray against Satan and all the evil devices in the name of Jesus. Give her the victory among all the things that people say and do, and for the father of this child, that he can have a revelation also.
Yes.
Father, we lift up this young lady to you this morning. She needs to know you, Father. She needs to have you as her Savior, her Lord and Savior. And so we pray you'd put the right people in her life. This is a critical time in her life, Father. And so I don't even know if it's possible for a mom to feel a baby moving at that early stage, but I just pray that you would make it possible, that she would feel that life within her, that she would just realize that there's life within her, that you would create a love for that child in her heart, Father. But even if she would decide to go through with this, Father, she still needs to know you. And yes, so we just pray you would continue to put people in her heart and her pathway that would speak truth into her life. Our prayer would be for both people, as Judy had prayed, Father, that there would be salvation for both. And so we just trust you with this young lady and pray you'd give Nyla another chance to talk to her. Mm-hmm. That's not too hard for you to do. And so we ask for that between now and the time of the abortion, Father. And just work in her heart, Father, so that she can come to know you as her Lord and Savior. That's what we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me. Do you mind if I just pull this over here so I can see my screen? Because I'll see what pops up there. Oh, I just feel very, very confident in God's protection and care for her and love for her. So thank you so much for joining me. That is just very, very special. And yeah, I really appreciate that. My name is Nyla Martin. I am married, and I made some connections here this morning with different people. My married name and my maiden name, Ebersole, and so on. So that's been good. But we have two children, and they are both married, and I have 8 grandchildren. They both have 4 children. So that's a very deep privilege to have 8 grandchildren. And they both live locally, so it's a lot of fun. I get to spend a lot of time with them and enjoy that. Our oldest grandson has Down syndrome, and so that's been a journey for us as a family. He's 11 years old now, and he had quite the journey. His mom and dad had quite the journey when she was pregnant with him, as you can imagine. They wanted her to get rid of him, and I have a daughter-in-law, is our daughter-in-law and son, and I have a daughter-in-law that's very outspoken and very, very, she knows what she believes, and she believes it, and that's awesome. And so she told those doctors down at CHOP at the hospital down in Philly, she told them when they mentioned about aborting him early on, she said, "Don't you ever mention that to me again. Don't you ever even speak that." She said, "That is not an option. It's never going to be an option." And on, you know, she went on. And they're like, it was so fun to see doctors. They just kind of like back up and say, we're sorry. We won't, we have to say that, blah, 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 you know. And so they're just backing up. And because there was a whole team of doctors that were with her. And so it's so neat, you know, that even situations like that can just have the boldness to speak out what truth is. And we, of course, get that opportunity every day, as you do, get opportunity every day to speak truth, to speak God's word to people, over ourselves and over people, and that's just really good. So, Love Speaks, this is a cool time to talk about that, being Valentine's Day, tomorrow, I guess. And so this is really neat that we know that God's love speak. Recently, we have come into more of our understanding of what God wants to do and his desire for us, and recognizing that God speaks in our centers, each of our locations, to us as congregations, and to our community. So those are the three areas that we're going to touch on this morning. And we've recently had that desire to be more intentional in our speaking of who Jesus is to our clients. So everyone that comes in now, every single person that comes in, if we have the least opportunity, we are going to tell them who Jesus is. He is God's son, what he did for us, he died on the cross for us, and we have the privilege of accepting that gift that he's given to us, each of us as individuals. And so we give them a mini gospel message, or however long, however much we can speak into their lives, and it's just so cool that we have felt like we need to, like Lisa Hostler, our president, who many of you know, and has been through many things herself, but she has a real, real passion for souls. And a lot of that came out of Ron's death and all of that, because he was so passionate at the end of his life. And so it's so neat how God forms people and puts passions on their heart. But a lot of that came out of that, that it's like people need to know Jesus. And so we're really passionate about that in our centers, in our locations. So the next slide, let's look at some of the things in the next one. He writes to us, Paul did in 2 Corinthians 5:14. He says, for it compels us. And compel is a strong word. And I really like that. It's like something is pushing you along. Because we are convinced that one died for all. And, you know, when we come convinced in our hearts of that gift of salvation, then his love just compels us to share that with other people and to proclaim it. So we recently added to our mission statement, go ahead, turn to the next one. We align with God to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and champion the sacredness of human life. So those are the two dual purpose that we have, to see everyone come into a life relationship with Jesus Christ and to see every baby experience life. And so it's just really, really cool to have those two key components that are very, very basic to compel us and to drive us in what we do. So that's so with increased compassion and intentionality, we go about our purposes. Okay, so you can turn to the next slide. So love speaks hope to us in our centers. And how do we speak hope to our clients? How do you speak hope to the people around you? There's many ways we can. Of course, first of all, like I said, we tell them about Jesus being God's son and how that brings them hope. And then we also let them know of our services, which can bring hope to people, that we have a baby boutique where they can shop for things they need for their baby. They earn that through coming in and earning care cash, which they can use to buy the things they need for their baby. We have, of course, pregnancy tests, free pregnancy testing, free first trimester ultrasounds, which you can turn to the next one, which that, the next slide, which talks about truth. And that indicates a truth. They see that baby on the screen, and many of them say, whoo, that is a baby. You know, I see it moving around. I see that heartbeat, and that gives them the ability, when they see truth, be able to choose truth. Now, not everybody does, but the majority of them do when they see that truth. And so that's a significant tool we use, as well as just speaking the truth of other God's principles into their life as well. And we really like that. And the next one says, hope, truth, and prayer. We pray with our clients, and that's really a key that we're able to do and love to do, pray over them. They see answers to prayer. They come back in the next week, and they'll tell their client advocate, wow, this happened. We prayed about that last week, and she or he, because we have male client advocates too, they'll say to them, do you realize that was God? You know, he cares about you. He cares about every single thing that you're going through, and he answers. And so they get to see that stuff, and it's really cool. In fact, we had this one couple that he was, I don't know what he considered himself, agnostic, I don't know, but something. But he didn't even want his client advocate for a while, his male client advocate, to even pray with him. And so he was just really, you know, it just set him off the wrong way. And we honor what they say. We don't push on them. We believe each person has the ability to say, you know, to make their choices. But that doesn't mean, and his client advocate said, if he said that, does that mean I can't ever say anything about Jesus again? I said, no, it doesn't mean that. It just means just back off a little bit and then see how you can move in again, you know. And that's what he did. And then later, the male client started just really warming up. And the day they were going to be induced, she was going to be induced, and they have just had their last class, and they called in and they said, can we come by the center and just have someone pray for us? Right before her induction. So it's like, here's the guy who said he didn't even believe in anything, asking for prayer, coming in special so that we could pray over them. So you really see God move that way through many, many prayers. I could give you so many examples of that, but I won't for right now. So let's proceed and move on to the next one. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that one. There we go. So let's move on to the fact that he speaks to our congregations. So us, we're talking about congregations where God's believers congregate throughout the week, Sunday mornings, all of us congregate as his people. And how does God speak to us? One of the things you'll see back on our table is we have some resources. One of them is on porn, one of them is on influencers, like social media and stuff, and the other one is on gender, confusion. Those are three resources which are for youth. I don't know if anybody has talked to them here at the at this teen center. A lot of them are for youth. They're doing it a lot of teen centers, church youth groups, just a lot of those places. They were written by one of our staff members, Todd Swisher, who used to be a teacher for high school students, and now he's writing curriculum. And so that is a huge resource. Also, Lisa's book is back there on the table. She just wrote a book about worship and how, like your kind of worship that you were doing this morning, that is what we do as, thank you, you're bringing that up, you're seeing what, I'm forgetting about that, and you're just moving right on in it. Thank you very much. and so we see how worship has formed us as a ministry. And Lisa has been there, I don't know if you know that, she's been there the whole time, long, long, many, many, many years. A lot of pastors, a lot of ministry leaders burn out after a while. And the kind of work we do, just like any other ministry, has a high rate of burnout. And she learned early on that she needed to depend totally on God. And she not only learned it for herself, but she taught us to all of us as staff members. We pass it down to our volunteers. Our volunteers walk in that of learning how to walk unexhausted. So if you get hold of that book, want to read it, I have a copy back there on the table. If somebody comes and asks me, I'll be glad to give it to you if somebody would like to read that. And you could pass it around then to others in your congregation, but it's an awesome book on a lot about align, how we grew, but also learning to what causes that. Okay, so the next slide talks to you about you as a congregation and people, God's people everywhere, are listening to the needs and responding. And I know you as a church have responded very, very well. I saw your baby bottles back there. I know you pray for us. I know you love us. You reach out in other ways as well. So thank you for hearing the needs and responding to those needs, because that's what God asked us to do, to stay together, to work together, and respond to the needs. Over the time of COVID, which everybody has your own story about that, these 2 years, I'm sure. But for us as a ministry, we've had a really, really neat time of, as soon as COVID really hit and things started shutting down, our clients started calling us and saying, we can't find formula on the shelves. We can't find diapers. You know, remember those early days when the shelves were just pretty well wiped out? And that's panicky for young moms, and they can't figure out what to do. And so our leadership immediately rose to the forefront and said, you know what? We're going to give out diapers, wipes, and formula to anybody in the community, in our communities, that needs them. And so that went out to all the other agencies and so on. A lot of the government agencies were just kind of shut down, weren't operating, weren't doing what they normally do for their clients. Even WIC, which supplies formula, was closed for a while. All of those resources that they normally get were just shut down. So who arises out of that? What should the body of Christ do? Isn't that our time to shine? Yes. Yes, be like lights on city on set on a hill that cannot be hid, right? And so that's what our leadership felt, and it was just an awesome time. We would deliver things to their homes, stand back, of course, you know how that was, and stand back and give them their goods, you know, and people just were just like brought to tears realizing it. We've continued that, and then we called out to the churches, hey, we need diapers, we need wipes, we need formula. And you know what? That abundance just poured into us. was so cool. And so our basements are filled with diapers and wipes, and we've been given so much out, it's not even funny. I've never seen so many diapers, wipes, and formula go through our doors as I have these last 2 years. But it's been so good, and along with that, we share God's love. We put little things in there and let them know what's behind it and who's behind it. And the neatest thing is, we tell our clients that this is God to you. And also, when we offer our services free of charge, we tell them, you know what? That is God's people. That's the donors telling you. They love, God loves you, and we're not going to charge you. And there, a lot of them are just like, whoa, that is just so awesome. We can meet needs across the whole board. They don't have to be in a certain income category. They don't have to be a certain age. They don't have to be even a citizen of the United States. We can serve anybody, and that's what's so cool. And you guys make that possible. So that is really cool. And then we're able to meet the needs of the people, like I said, during these 2 years. And one of the cool things is some of these clients came in to get, and then when we started being able to, they could come in our waiting room and get these supplies. And we heard so many stories from them of need. You know, people lost their jobs. You know how it was. And I don't mean to categorize people, but seemed a bit unfortunate that those that have had the higher paying jobs and worked on computers all day, they could go home, shelter in place, and be okay. Those that made, that, you know, were out front working with the public, such as in restaurants and so on, they had to be on the job or else they lost their jobs because the restaurants and all those places got shut down. So they lost their jobs, and it just seems really unfair that they were the ones that, you know, they're the ones that had to suffer the most. But anyway, we were there to meet, and we hear all these stories, and then we just pray for them right there in the waiting room. And that was just so, so cool, and some of them would just break down and cry. And just say, you know, I just didn't realize God's love and his compassion, and thank you for expressing that. So it was just, we still do that, just really neat times of being able to do that. So thank you to all of you as you supplied for us and helped us, and we still continue. Right now there's, you know, shortages beginning again, which is really pretty crazy because of the supply chain, and a lot of people are having trouble finding certain formulas on the shelves again. So of course we've kind of gotten where we could, and we're pretty well stocked, and we will be able to. And that's what God's people are all about, isn't it? Kind of reminds me of Joseph when he was in the land and there was famine around. What happened? God used him to be able to help the people. And that's what he wants for us as believers. We shine. This is our hour. Do you realize that? As the world becomes darker and darker, which it is, we all know, this is our hour to shine. This is when God wants to really do cool, cool things. And all of us get to be spotlights for him. And it's not that we have to try to make that light shine brighter, but it's just that the world's getting darker. And so what happens as the sun sets? Wow, you can really see the lights. Maybe they were on all day. You didn't notice them, did you? When did you notice the lights were on? When it got dark. And so that is the coolest thing. We get to do that. And so we're those lights. So thank you for all your participation in all of these ways for us. Let's go on to the next slide. God speaks to us. To your congregation through sexual integrity. And I have four papers here. They have something written on the back. Can I give these out to four of you that would volunteer? And then when I tell you, I'd like you to read what's on the back. Okay. Anybody else accept one? Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? How about you? You look like you're going to do that. Oh, that's a good one. Okay, so these are four areas where we're talking about sexual integrity here. We see some others that are impacted by, we talked about other things. We talked about gender, uncertainties, gender struggles, same-sex attractions. We talk about unintended pregnancies happening. We talk about those that are struggling with a past abortion. All of those are significant areas that we, as a nation, face. We, as a people, you know, just because we're human, many of us face these things. Maybe you haven't faced all of those yourself, but you could probably think of someone who has faced all of these different things, or your family members or other people that have faced these kinds of situations in their lives. What does God, he's speaking? What's he speaking to these people? What's the good news that he has for each of them in their situation? He really loves us and wants to speak truths into our lives. So let's start with the one, those who are currently impacted by sex outside of marriage and pornography. The love of God speaks this to you. Who has that one? Thank you. That one's coming up. That'll be next.
Past choices don't define someone and aren't the end of the story. God forgives us and wants us to forgive ourselves and each other. He brings healing and hope for change. His word holds strategies to help us line up with his design, and he's created us with a physiological ability to rewire our brains that help us think and act in ways that are best for us and honor him.
You know, like even we were talking about a lot of that, the rewire our brains. Oh, good. Thank you for doing that. Rewire our brains. Anybody that has been in the past caught in pornography, or you know someone who has, it is hard to change that because you get your brain going in certain waves, and that is very hard to change. But we know that God's able to rewire our brains. And God's able to do a lot of things that seemingly are natural and impossible. So that's what he speaks to those who have sex outside of marriage and pornography. How does he speak to those who are impacted with gender struggles and same-sex attraction?
God is with you. You are not alone. Jesus understands the things we face in our ever-changing culture. Keep your eyes on him. His never-changing word, and talk with trusted believers who can provide godly perspective and walk through this with you.
Thank you so much. That is a key for those who struggle with same-sex attraction, with gender things, because one of the main things that kids do today is go to social media to express those things or to talk about it, or even in schools. And unfortunately, many teachers in the schools are really promoting and allowing people to go by whatever gender they want to, and they won't tell their parents. You've heard these kinds of stories as well, which are really true. And so we need them to reach out to trusted leaders, to trusted people who can share with their parents struggles. We all struggle, and there's nothing shameful about anything that we struggle with because we're human. We all have struggles, and so the important thing is reaching out for help. So the next one, if you are currently impacted, do you have the past abortion? Okay, go ahead with that one, the past abortion.
No matter the circumstances, he sees you. He was there when you made that choice, and he is with you now as you wrestle through the layers of pain. He has never stopped loving you. In fact, as you open up more and more to his healing, you will see that he desires to bring goodness from your past. He delights in making beauty from the ashes of your sin. His love is transformative.
Amen. We have seen so many. We have a past abortion, a post-abortion ministry. I have one more over there. Oh, you have one. Okay, good. Then you knew what you were doing. Sorry. We have a post-abortion ministry, and we've seen so many people just set free and just leave all of that baggage behind. It's just so, so cool. And that's the same as with any of our sins that we have. And we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. And we can walk free of those things. It's just so cool. So if you're currently impacted by an unintended pregnancy, what does God speak to us in that situation?
God's grace and ability to intervene in your situation is boundless. His love is so great that even if you are disappointed, he is not disappointed in you and longs to walk beside you on this journey. God is never taken by surprise. Even if this pregnancy was unintended by you, he already knew it would take place and is writing your story and this baby's story.
Yes. Isn't that awesome? Yes. I have a bunch of those back, all of those areas. I have a bunch of those little cards back on the table. I would really encourage you, which I've done, take some of them, put them in your pocket or somewhere close. And when you encounter somebody who is facing one of these things, this is such a way of giving hope to them without them feeling like you're judging them. You're just reaching out with God's love to them. So I would really encourage you. It's just a neat little tool that you can use as you encounter people. You never know when you're going to encounter people. And sometimes people, even as they're checking you out, some of them, they may say, hey, you know, I'm pregnant or didn't really want to be or whatever. Or somebody may say that they've had a past abortion or they're struggling with gender issues or something, you know, and you're just able to say, here's a little bit of what God says about this. I want you to know that. So just encourage you to do that was one of the ways we'd like to share his love for you. So let's move on to the next slide. Okay, God speaks to our communities. And how does he speak to our communities? There's just several things that I'd like to bring out here. You know, there's a biblical way to think about the sanctity of human life. And that is the perception and the perspective that we take. And I know that most of you here do the same thing. But the world is going to present, and even friends, even Christians are going to present all kinds of arguments to you. They may think, oh, this or that. And I'm going to go over just a couple of those arguments that, and you can think of many more, I'm sure. Just a couple arguments that people will say. And how do you respond to that? Let's look at a couple of them together. Let's look at the next slide. Okay, so how would you ever want a child to be born into that situation? The child is destined only to suffer. Have you heard that? Has anybody ever said that to you? Have you ever thought that? Tell you, when I was in high school, which was a long, 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 long time ago, but when I was in high school, I remember I went to Lancaster Mennonite, and I remember thinking, and various of us would say, you know what, wouldn't it be better if a child wasn't even born for them to come into an abusive situation or into a situation where they're only going to suffer, or in other countries where you know they're going to be hungry. Why would you want a child to be born into that? Okay, so tell me an answer. What would you say to somebody like that? God what? Amen. Amen. Have you heard of people? Do you know of people who have been born into some horrible situations, some suffering situations? And have you heard what God has done in their lives? You can think of many. Just look at Jim Daly, for one thing. Most of you are familiar with Focus on the Family. Have you ever heard his story? Crazy. But look what God's done with him. And there's many, 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 many people you know like that. God's a redeemer, and he's able. He's with a child, even in those situations, and can bring them through. And so, again, like you were saying when you read that about unintended pregnancy, let's don't limit God. Let's don't limit what he wants to do in people's lives, even these little ones. Okay, let's go on to the next question. I would never have an abortion, but it's not my place to tell a person what to do. I'm sure you've heard that one. Many even Christians will say this one. Well, I believe in life, you know, I just believe that's what the Bible says, but I would never push it on somebody else. So, what do you say? Here's some of your wise responses. Mm-hmm. That's correct. This is what the culture teaches us. This is the narrative that who has taught us. Is this what God says in the Bible? No, this is what the narrative of the world says. This is their mantra. You know, well, if you want to have abortion yourself, at least let the people that want to have abortions, let them have abortions, you know, right? Isn't that sound like the proper thing to do? No. Anybody else have a response? That was awesome. Like what? Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Any other responses? Right. Yeah. That's so true. Yep. We and speaking into them personally, like, you know what? If we care, I guess the thing is, you know, that's kind of like putting it off. If we really care about that person and also care about the baby, but if we particularly care about that person, we're going to know that God loves them and doesn't want them to make wrong choices. All of us make wrong choices, but at least we have the opportunity to say, you know what, I really would love to see you not make a choice that will affect you deeply for the rest of your life. I really care about you. What do you think about something like that, too? Yeah. Go ahead.
I know I worked as a midwife for a number of years. Mm-hmm.
And awesome.
If I saw that there was an abortion in the past, I would ask them to talk about that. And the shame and the regret. But what I would tell some of the mothers is an abortion is not an easy fix. You will have this baby.
That's right.
Whether it's abortion or whether it's yes. adoption or whether you have the baby.
Yes. Yes. No, it's not. Once you're a mom, whether for however long you're a mom, you're always a mom, and it just becomes a part of them. That's very, very good. Okay, let's go on to another one. You've given very well. Okay, so you're saying someone's in an abusive situation. Having this baby will only traumatize her more. What do you say to somebody like that? Say the husband or the spouse or the person they're living with is abusing them, and you think, and then there's a baby out of that, or say they're raped, and having a baby will only traumatize them more. What do you think about that statement? That's another one that the world uses a lot.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. If you think trauma, it's trauma having a baby, think what the trauma is getting rid of that. Like you said, that's more trauma than anything because you've already suffered the consequences of that abusive situation and someone taking advantage of you. And then if you, in turn, take advantage of that child within you, it's just like a cycle that keeps going on. I want to share really, really quickly, and I am going to finish up here really soon, but share very quickly. We've had a number over the past, of course, as you can imagine, that have come to us that have been raped and have chosen to carry to term. And it's just really, really cool to see them carry to term. We had this one young black woman. She was beautiful, and she had been involved in drugs, and she, you know, just didn't realize what was going on many times by the influence of the drugs, and she had was raped by a couple different guys, so wasn't sure even who she was pregnant, you know, who would be the father. And she came, she sat out in her, she made an appointment with us, she learned about us, and she made an appointment with us, and she sat outside in her car for a long time. She was only about a couple, you know, maybe about 8 weeks pregnant at that point. And she just needed support because she had already said she had had abortion in her past and she wasn't going to have another abortion. So she already kind of made up her mind that. She waited in her car. She finally got the courage to come in and she shared her story. And we said, oh, we're so glad you're here. You're making such a wise choice. You are so brave. You are so strong. I don't feel strong. I feel utterly defeated. Well, of course you do, but you are really strong in your desire to carry this child to term. So she did. She got into our Earn While You Learn classes, our prenatal classes, and got things for her baby. And she had left her drug friends and moved to Colombia. I know some people think that Colombia is a drug. But they weren't her friends because she didn't know them there. But she moved to Colombia and to just get started afresh. And she said, I moved away from my friends, you know, I want to try to raise this child, and she did. But her one request was from her client advocate. Do you have any idea what her one request might have been? And I've heard this before from ones that have been raped. She said, I would really like if this child looked like me. Now, can you blame her for that? No, not at all. Because one of the things they say about raped victims is that child will look like him or whatever if they've seen their face or if they knew them. Sometimes rapes happen by people you know, unfortunately, but that's the case. Date rape and stuff. And they said, there's always a reminder. You don't want a constant reminder of that person, you know. That's just the hurt coming up over and over again. So she said, I would really like this child looking at me. And guess what? We said, we'll pray that with you. My goodness, God is so big. He's able to do that. Oh, this baby, I'll tell you what, looks just like her. Beautiful baby. Oh, my goodness. And as she grows a little bit, I think she's now about 8 months old or something like that. Oh, she's like the splitting image of her mom. Isn't that just, and the mother said to me, she said, even while she's in the hospital, I think she texted me or called me or something. She said, guess what? This baby looks like me. And I said, we said, yes. So it's so cool. You know, in the beginning, God, all of these questions, don't ever forget. Don't limit God. And don't allow the people around you to limit God. Offer them hope. Offer them truth. Offer them love. Offer them prayer. And don't let people limit God. Because God is big and he wants to come through in our situations. And he wants to do great and mighty things for us. So let's don't limit him. These situations look so limiting. But God, he's so much bigger. In the beginning, God. And somebody just told me recently a neat statement I really liked. Yes, we have in the beginning God, and we know he's the Alpha and Omega, so he'll be there the whole way to the end. And beyond, there's no end for us because we live eternally. But he works from the end backwards. So he knows your life. He knows everything that's going to happen to you here out. So he's working backwards. So everything that you're going through, everything, every decision, everything you need wisdom for and stuff, he's already way out there and he knows. So he's able to give you that divine wisdom, that divine help, that divine endurance for a season or the trial you're going through, because he knows what's down the road. So don't ever forget, he's worked from the end backwards, so he knows already all of that, and he's going to take care of us. It's just so cool to remember that. In the beginning, God, the reason for your life, my life, is sacred, because God created us. He wants to have a relationship with us, and you can turn to the next slide. Okay, so regardless of what it is, pregnant women, regardless of what for the young pregnant woman, like we talked, I'm just kind of reiterating here, the primary overarching reason she exists is so that she can know and enjoy her Creator. We might think that her biggest need is to choose life for her baby. That may think like, oh, that's what she has to do. And that is important. But what's even more important than in her choosing life for her baby? Choosing life, eternal life for herself. Choosing eternal life for herself. And we as staff and as client advocates and as volunteers, each of our locations, and each of us as we interact with people, if we can keep that in mind, that that person and whatever they're going through, that their biggest need is to choose life, choose God, choose him, and that makes all the difference in the world. So that is just so cool. We know. So that's where our passion, all of us, our passion for pro-life comes from. It's rooted in our relationship with Jesus, knowing that that's what he desires for each person. So let's go on. So we already went through this. So keep going on. And that one and the next one, we already talked about those, so we'll not go back over those. So we're going to keep proclaiming the gospel and go into the next one. Okay, so we're going to end up with some scriptures. And I'd like if you would say them with me. 1 John 5:12, he who has the Son has life. John 4:17:3, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And the next one, John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, and then the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And John 3:16, one of our favorites. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Yes. Awesome scripture. You can find many more on life, but that's just it. Thank you so much for allowing me to be with you today. I really am praying that some truths through the worship, through what we shared today, goes deep in your hearts, and that it changes us more and more into his likeness and gives us the passion to move into, continually move in the ministry he called each of us to do, raising our children, being involved in our grandchildren's lives, or at our workplace, like you were talking about in your workplace, learning, you know, that God bringing those people to you that you can relate with, and wherever he leads us, we're believing for life. So that's going to be my prayer for you. So thank you very much. Okay.
For closing, I'm going to ask Glenn if you would close us, but let's gather around the island.
Wow. Pray for you. Well, I'll accept that. I'm going to hold this baby.
As she put the questions up, we know who's behind those questions.
Uh-huh.
So we're in a war with Satan, so I think we want to cover you with prayer. And so lay your hands on the island or someone beside you.
God of grace, God of glory, God of life, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for this time together to reinforce that which we believe. But we also know, Father, that within your church there are those who don't think life is as important. And we just pray for a change of hearts, minds, and spirits. We pray, Father, for wisdom. We pray, Father, for Satan to be bound with all his evil ways of pornography and all those things that lead people away from the truth. And now, Lord, I just come to you praying for Nyla. I pray for her life, for her testimony, for her speaking. Lord, as she goes forth and speaks for Aligned Lives Ministries, Lord, that people will know that life is what they're about. We also pray, Lord, as we hear the Supreme Court taking up cases, we just pray a blessing upon that. We pray for the moving in hearts and minds of those Supreme Court justices, for victory in your will and your way and your time. We know, Lord, that you're going to walk with us through this journey. Be with Nyla, be with Lisa, be with all the others on the team there at Align. And I just pray, too, for all those who are going to come walking through those doors this week, that your blessing will be upon them in a special way. And Lord, now, we also pray a blessing upon each one of us here around her right now, because we're going to touch lives this week also. And I just pray that you would help us to speak truth, to that you would receive the honor, glory, and the praise. Go with us now. May your love be the impetus in our lives to talk to others, to share with others, to tell the good news and proclaim that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Amen.
Set. Our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power.